The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to the best of Sunday's action. We're going to look through the whole card at Nace. There's also a few races at Cork to look forward to as well. And Sean Quinn, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Darren Owen will be your studio team and we'll guide you through all of the action. But as I mentioned, I'm joined on the line by Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Alex.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good form. Thank you.
As I mentioned, we're going to look at the Nace cards and a few races at Cork today. But I haven't spoken to you for a while, actually, Andy. How's things been going this week? Have you any good luck?
It's been okay. I must admit, I just spoke to you off air, didn't I? I found September and October on the flat in particular, particularly in this country, really, really difficult, as highlighted yesterday by the results at Ascot, testifies horses that, I wouldn't say you couldn't give too much of a strong case beforehand, won. The likes of Seal of Approval and Royal Diamond just highlight how difficult it is to read some of these back-end races. And even Dundalk for me on Friday proved a stumbling block. My sort of favourite track, I couldn't get that right. I was really annoyed because I followed a form line which I thought was really, really good, and it was the perfect storm, really, because the handicap which Payne Magnus and Cardinal Palace finished first and second in respectively, it was a lot quicker than Alfonso de Souza and the Manalapan. They ran behind Parish Hall in a group race. And then lo and behold, I backed Cardinal Palace because obviously he won the handicap, left Payne Magnus alone, and they crawled and went no gallop the other night. And of course, Payne Magnus came out on top and Cardinal Palace finished fifth. So it was really annoying, really. I read the race right, but unfortunately, I didn't get the right result.
Mm.
So it's just been really frustrating the last few weeks.
Okay. But fingers crossed we can have at least two or three winners today. It looks doable on this card as well, particularly at Nace. I mean, a few short price favourites, but I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, they look to have really quite strong chances.
Yeah, I quite like some of the handicaps as well, funny enough. I think there's some good prices on offer in that listed mares and fillies race. Also, I think you want to think outside the box, because back end of the season, fillies, as we're seeing, we get some throw-ups and some turn-ups, so I think we need to be looking down the thick end of the bigger prices today.
Okay. Well, we'll kick things off with Nace. We'll have a look at three races at Cork later, just because they're decent races. And
just because we can.
Yeah, well, I just think it'd be a shame to leave them off. I think there isn't much between the two Irish cards today. And as I said, we're going to focus on Nace, but I think it would be remiss of me to leave Cork alone.
It would.
Yes. Okay, then. So we'll kick off at Nace with the 140. It's a maiden over 7 furlongs. And the market suggests there's only one horse in it, and that is Johann Strauss for the O'Brien team.
Yeah, it's pretty much the way I see it as well. You're not going to get fat rich on this. But he should win this, really. I mean, he should have won first time out, shouldn't he? It was well-documented, modest ride by Joseph O'Brien, one of his few so far this season. Modest in the sense that I think he over-egged the pudding, and he also was obviously trying to look after the horse as well first time up. Between them, they got a miscommunication of where the winning post was and started their run too late, and absolutely flashed home, and everyone saw that he was probably the best horse in the race and should make amends really next time up. Surprising that dropping him back to 7 furlongs. You know, he's by High Chaparral. You would have thought he's going to be a middle distance horse next year, so that's the only slight negative if you're looking to pick hares. But his class should get him through, and I think with a more positive ride this time, Joseph O'Brien won't make the same mistakes again. You know, that patience and the kindness that he afforded his mount first time out should be rewarded today.
Okay, then. And if you had to go for a forecast, would you take Fiscal Focus to follow him home?
Well, he's the logical one. He also showed a bit of promise in a decent race here at Navan on his debut. It was a race at Belarus, should have won. It was another modest ride by Joseph O'Brien. He has had a few. Let's not beat about the bush. Joseph's not always brilliant. He had a terrible race in a horse called The Star Is Born at the Curragh last week, and that horse won yesterday without him on his back. So, you know, you have to balance it out sometimes. But yeah, Fiscal Focus, yeah, that was a good run behind one of John Ox's, who showed a bit of promise, and he also himself showed plenty of potential. So yeah, he looks the logical choice to chase him home.
Okay, but Johann Strauss for selection in
the
140. The 210 is another maiden over 7 furlongs, this time for the fillies. But the market has a similar look to it. Not quite as strong a favourite this time, but Beyond Brilliance has been reasonably well supported this morning for the O'Brien team. And with the benefit of experience, you'd expect that she can go pretty close here.
You would, yeah. She caught my eye in that Navan race behind Stabber Companion Marvellous the other week. She was actually last with 5 furlongs to run, and from the point where I time them from here at Navan, she came home the quickest in the race, to be never near a fifth. It was a really good return. Actually marks her up as being a horse to follow when she either runs over that trip or perhaps beyond, either towards the back end of the season or indeed next season in future. So dropping back to 7 furlongs again, similar to the favourite in the first, is the only slight concern I have, because she looks as if she's got plenty of stamina rather than speed. And that would be the only reason I wouldn't be absolutely like bowling myself over to take a very short price about her. I think with that experience she might be good enough to win. But at the same time, I'd certainly respect Hazaraba from the inform now John Oxtable. This yard, as we have pointed out many times here on the podcast, has had a terrible season. But the green shoots of recovery started in probably mid-September, and they've continued through to October. They've had plenty of maiden winners, and I think that's an encouraging sign for the future. And a lot of them have obviously been in the colours of the Aga Khan. So keep an eye on the market for this Oasis Dream filly. She's certainly well bred, and she probably has got more precociousness, if you like, at this stage of the season than Beyond Brilliance, who's going to be a mile and a half horse, whereas Hazaraba is definitely going to be a 7 furlong miler. So it could be an interesting matchup between the two. Obviously I'm going to stick with the form, because that's the only one I can really judge, not absolutely as confident as it would be the first favourite.
Okay then, but Beyond Brilliance to pick there in the 210. The 240 is a nursery over 7 furlongs. A few nice types in here, I think, Andy. Once again, we see an Aidan O'Brien trained favourite. Craftsman has been well supported this morning, but this is certainly more open than the first two races.
Yeah, just on the point of handicapping, I don't actually know how the official setter has got to the mark of 95 with Craftsman. That is probably one of the most ridiculous handicap marks I think I've ever seen. I'm not saying the horse can't win, of course. I mean, he might well, you know, improve and completely prove me wrong, but a starting point of 95 following a second in a Gowran maiden, which doesn't amount to much, and a two-length victory of a horse called the Panhandler, an Upper Silesian, you know, it's just modest form. I just don't know how he got. I really don't know how he's got 95. But anyway, I think he'll get beat anyway today by Hidden Oasis. He's my nap of the day. I fancied this horse for my life the last time out at Listowel. Unfortunately, I was on holiday, so I didn't have a chance to obviously do a preview and nap it, but I would have done. And I still can't believe it got beat, to be honest. It swept to the front with over a furlong to run, looking as though it was going to run away and win the race easily. And then he got run out by a strong finishing Mekong River from the same stable, Aidan O'Brien. So he had his pocket pick late on. Prior to that, over 7 furlongs today's trip, he travelled really well and won by a huge margin in a very, very fast time. And that was the reason why I tipped him or fancied him strongly at Listowel, because of that strong speed figure. He's now dropping back to what I think is going to be his optimum distance. He hasn't got quite the testing ground either, which won't draw the sting out of his stamina. He's all about speed. He's got a beautiful cruising speed, this horse. He will glide through this race like the best horse in it. And I'm hopeful that potent kick, which he showed at Galway, over the trip today, which should suit him better, will be good enough to see Hidden Oasis get back on the winning trail.
So Hidden Oasis, the nap there in the 240. The 315 is a listed contest for fillies and mares over a mile. Another nice looking race this, some potentially nice types in here. We'll start with Dermot Wells' Ras Maya, popular in the market and unexposed. Every chance that she could run a nice race here.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. Really nice filly, very lightly raced, obviously. Clearly had her problems, issues along the way. Or maybe they might have just waited for the back end of the season, because she's proven on soft ground already. That was obviously at Leopardstown at this time last year when she won a maiden. She was obviously highly tried and was quite strongly fancied in the Guineas. Only a 9-1 chance, could only beat one home, gained ground too quick, and then they roughed her off for a bit, brought her back. Good run, eye-catching run at Tipperary the other day, finishing very strongly from the back of the field to be never near a third behind, of course, Fierce Solana, who did that form no harm by winning at Newmarket last weekend. She is the form pick, and she's definitely the one to beat. However, also in that race, there was another eye-catcher, similarly to Razame, and she's a slightly more attractive price, and that's Toban, a horse that I've tipped a few times on the podcast. Podcasters are probably thinking I'm going over the cliff here without a parachute here with this horse. But I'm going to give her another chance, Toban, at the prices. I'd certainly rather back her each way at 8-1 than take, you know, 5-2, 9-4 about the favourite. Because, like I said, there's not a great deal between them on that Tipperary run. But the key is the ground. Toban is very much a better filly when there's cutting the ground. Dundalk the other night was a bit of a mistake for me. She was obviously expected to win at 1-2, but she was vulnerable on the quicker surface and she got found out by a turn of foot from the winner. Harmonic Knight is a good horse on the poly track. Tabana's got a really good change of gear when the ground's on the easy side, and hopefully that turn of foot will be seen to good effect today. And I think she can certainly outrun her odds.
Okay then. The next race that we'll look at is the 3:45. It's the first of two hurdle races on the Nace card. The Mighty Milan is a very short price favourite. Has the best form in the race, but is that price entirely justified, Andy?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, just about. I think it was a good race at running down in Tipperary. Those sort of summer jumping Grade 3 races aren't really as powerful as like Grade 3s would be in the middle of winter. That goes without saying, so they can be slightly overplayed and you can get an overinflated mark because of that. But it was a really encouraging run by Tom Nigel's 6-year-old. Travelled really well in the race, looked the most likely winner, turning around the home straight. They just got a bit tired and made a couple of novice mistakes over the last two when the taps were turned on. Certainly going to have to improve on the jumping stakes, but you know, that form looks really good. Those front three in the market, or the front three home that day, have all got good summer jumping form, and it was a good race of its kind. I fancied one in the race that never got in it, one of Jessica Harrington's, and that finished last of the eight. So I think that form's good, the time was good, and with Barry Geraghty on board today, I'd expect this horse to make no mistake. Badger Fort, certainly an interesting runner, having its first run, of course, for New Connections. Philip Fenton still does the training, but obviously JP's got it now. Eye-catching running that Land Rover bumper behind Moore Park. That race is always a good race to follow with regards to potential hurdlers. So he looks the logical each-way choice. Don't know much about the rest, really. A lot from making their debuts and come from the point-to-point field, and a lot of flat horses probably won't be up to the standard expected for this race. So the Mighty Milan, definitely a worthy favourite. Probably put it in a double with Joanne Strauss in the first. That's probably the safest option.
Okay. The 4:20 is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, and is certainly one of the more open races on the card. We're 5-1 co-favourites, Barresi and Under the Boardwalk at the time of recording. But what takes your eye here, Andy?
Yeah, this is a difficult one for me because I caught Under the Boardwalk the other day on a flat doing some really good work, and I made a note in my paper, my notes, to say back this horse next time when it goes over hurdles. So lo and behold, a week later, it's over hurdles, and it's at Navin's sister track, Nay. So definitely want to keep an eye on Under the Boardwalk, but I'm torn because I've got some good speed figures for this favourite here, Barresi. Now, I usually like to go with my speed figures on a horse that's run really consistently well in a couple of good races recently. That run behind Blackwell Synergy and the run behind the Crafty Butcher suggest to me that Charles Burns' in-form 8-year-old is going to be the one to beat here. Certainly difficult to see it not finishing in the frame. Probably could do with a little bit further than 2-mile-3. That would be a slight negative I've got about Barresi. He's probably a better horse over 2.5, stroke 3 miles. But I'd certainly be prepared to slightly overlook that. Because of his consistency and his speed figure. So I'll stick with Barresi each way, 5-1. But I am very much frightened about that Under the Boardwalk, particularly if the money comes for it as well. Obviously, Tony Martin, Barry Geraghty with that eye-catching run on the flat. Certainly worth consideration.
OK, then. The 4:55 is the penultimate race on the Nace card. It is a handicap over 1 mile and 4 furlongs. Only one place to start here, Andy. A very interesting runner is our Connor.
Yeah, I mean, he's apple in my eye. He's always going to be a horse I've got a massive amount of affection for, having done me a massive turn in last year's Triumph Hurdle, the best hurdler we saw in the division for a long, long time. I think he's a really good horse, and you know, he's on the way back in the corner long ladder leading up towards the Champion Hurdle, touch wood, next season. This is a good starting point for him. Obviously, his mark on the flat compared to his hurdle rating now of 150 or 160, I think, even. You know, he's chucked in, isn't he, really? But it's not going to be as easy as it would imagine. That they never are there, these things? Obviously, the translation back to the flat in the back end of the season, when, if you like, he's not going to be fully wound up to it. Let's be honest, you know, he's not going to bring his A-game to the table today. He's got a long, hard season ahead of him. This is just the first rung on the ladder. So albeit he's the one to beat and he's the class act of the field, I think 5-2, you know, he's up against a lot of fit in-form horses here. He's plenty short enough for me, and I'll be prepared to overlook him. I'll just say, well, if he wins, fair play to him. But because I think he's been put in short, we do get some good value about some horses who bring good form to the table. I tipped a Napta horse called Stony Grey last time out from the Andrew Oliver stable, and I think we should stick with him until he gets beaten. I don't think for 1 minute he's not going to run a good race here today. His last two speed figures have been very good. One of them was at Navan last time out when he dropped back to a mile and a quarter. I think a mile and a half will suit him even better today. Obviously, the ground's ideal. He does like a plenty of cuts in the ground. I think there's more to come from him as well. I think he's a difficult horse to assess because he always looks as though he's saving himself when he hits the front as well. He kind of like pricks his ears and runs around a little bit. And I don't think he can really get to the bottom of this horse. I think there's still some potential to come. I think talking about Triumph Hurdle horses with Arcona in the race, I think a lot of the jumping balls will be after this Stony Grey. He's a 3-year-old with plenty of size and scope. And I think whatever happens to him here today and on the flat, we'll definitely be seeing him in the winter jumping a hurdle, and he's already one I've got my eye on for sort of Triumph Hurdle kind of reckoning. Depends, of course, who he goes with, but I'm going to stick with him today. Stony Grey, each way at 8-1.
Okay, then, Stony Grey in the 4.55. The final race on the NACE card is a flat race. Certainly interesting, this. I mean, we've spoken about this on podcast before. The Mullins sort of team, if you like. Jockey bookings, it's always interesting to see who's riding what, and on this occasion Paddy Mullins ride Mumbo Bay for Miss Margaret Mullins. Willie Mullins once again goes with did we find out the name last time or not, Andy?
I think it was Francesca, something like
right,
that, yeah.
Possibly.
But
Miss FK Mullins, officially, claiming 7. She rides Gold Boy, who is obviously fancied at the head of the market, but there's a few in here that have got winning form, and I think this is not the worst flat race you'll ever see.
No, this is quite a good one, you're right. Your judgment is definitely sound on this occasion, Alex. That performance by Goldboy had to be seen to be believed last time out. This horse touched, I think, 20-1 in running because it was literally doing everything that you shouldn't do to win a race, i.e. pulling very hard from the early stages. She couldn't settle it. It was reefing and pulling, and you think, this horse just cannot possibly maintain this all the way through the race and get home. But lo and behold, it did. It just kept galloping and galloping and galloping. The harder she pulled it and tried to hold it, the further and the more it galloped on the strong. It was just quite extraordinary to see. And in the end, it won very easily. Whether we can do that again today against better horses, who knows. But the engine's still there. But she definitely would need to settle it better today. And I think the early stages of the race are going to be crucial for Goldboy's chance. Of the rest, I do think Brian is a horse that is going places, and he's probably going to be my choice today. I think in hindsight, Derek O'Connor could have gone a little bit quicker than he did at Listowel last time out. It was a race that was eventually won by Willie Mullins' useful horse, Wicklow Brave, I think, completed the hat-trick on that occasion. But I thought it was a race that Yes Sir Brian let slip through his fingers because he kind of dawdled in front and he let it become a little bit of a dash off the home turn, and if you like, he was always going to get outpaced by a horse who's shown plenty of speed before, that Wicklow Brave. And in the end, I suppose it was a good effort to only get beat by a short head, but that was one that got away from me. Hopefully today he'll either A, go a little bit quicker if he leads, or B, sit in behind the pace if something else wants to tame along. But ultimately, I think Yes Sir Brian, up in trip, when there's more emphasis on stamina, as he proved when he won on his debut at Punchestown, could well be the ticket here, and 5-1 each way looks a fairly safe option.
OK then. We're just going to look ahead to three races at Cork now. Could you just sum up your picks at NACE just before we do that, Andy?
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. First race should be the favourites by some way. Johann Strauss, good run first time at Newmarket, should make amends. Interesting the money for Hazaraba in that second race, but notwithstanding that, I think Beyond Brilliant certainly sets a standard on its run the other day at NACE. Nap of the Day, Hidden Oasis, strong traveller. 7 furlongs should be ideal, and hopefully get the better of what I think is a fairly moderately handicapped horse of Aidan O'Brien's in the shape of Craftsman. 3.15, wide open fillies race. Obviously, Razame is the one to keep an eye on following that good run at Tipperary, but also involved in the same race as Taban. And at the prices, I'll go with Jim Bolger's filly each way. The Mighty Milan, permed up with Johann Strauss in the first race, should make a nice short price double on the card there in the 3.45. Under the Boardwalk, very enticing to me in that 4.20, but I've gone loyal with the figures with Baresi. In the 4.55, I'll stick with Stony Grey until he gets beat, but obviously all eyes are on Arcona. and in the final race. Yes, Sir Brian. Hopefully will be a very much a yes in that final race.
OK, then. We'll move on to Cork, then, for three races, the first of which comes up at 3.25. It's a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Once again, very, very competitive. Where are we going to start with this one, Andy?
Well, I won't embarrass you and ask you to pronounce the top weight here, but it is going to be my choice.
Do you want me to give it a go?
Go on, then.
No.
No.
No, I'm not even going to attempt it.
Borgin Elamy.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
You were going to say that, yeah, of course. To be fair, I only know because I listened to the commentaries a million times. Yeah, Borgin Elamy, a horse that very much likes fast ground. Now, in the paper, that it says you'll need to soft in places, and that would normally put you off, but I've checked the websites and I've checked the racing post, I've checked the course stats as well. I've gone to their website, the homepage, and it's definitely good to firm in places. Now, this is the reason why I really fancy this mare today, because A, she loves Cork. Her career record here at this track is very commendable. In fact, she won her last start here when she shipped up in the middle of summer. And since then, she's gone on a progressive upward scale. She won at Killarney, again, in another good race. And then the last two runs in between, at least Stolen at the Conmel, can be forgiven because they're on a soft surface. She doesn't like soft ground. But she came bouncing back to form last time out at Limerick. That was last Monday. I actually think it was that charity day, wasn't it, which raised a lot of money for quite a few of the injured jockeys. And she just succumbed to Mrs. McVeigh in the latter stage, and that horse had run well the previous Saturday as well. So she was up against a fit horse. Now, she comes back to Cork today. She's back on good to firm ground, and with Piers Gallagher taking 5 off, I can't see how this horse is going to run out of frame here. Around about 7-1 this morning. Borgin Elamy each way looks really solid in that 3.25.
OK, then. The 3.55 is the penultimate race that we're going to look at. It's a handicap chase, a Grade B contest over 2 miles. A nice feel to this race, Andy. It's still pretty open, but I think that there's a few in here with chances.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. First of all, Tom Segal's obviously ruined the price of run with the wind. It's almost like a price-wise selection, isn't it, on a Sunday without any early morning odds to go on. So the bookmakers have got a really good opportunity to stick one in very, very short, and they've not let anyone down here by putting in this one at a ridiculous 5-2. All run with the wind's forms is on a softer surface. I think Tom's obviously got suckered in by the fact that it was yielding to soft in places on the form card, and it's now good to firm. So that's going to rule out run with the wind. So you back that at your own peril. I also think this ground's going to be too quick for cause of cause as well. A horse, of course, wants soft or heavy ground, all his best forms on with plenty of give. So this race, for me, has got a totally different shape to what it would have had in the morning or overnight, if you like. And I think Pires is a standout horse here. He loves Cork. He's 2-2 over fences at Cork. He loves fast ground. He shows a good turn of foot when he won at Ballinrobe a couple of starts ago. He's actually 4-jump in the last, but he managed to pull it out the fire with a massive turn of foot on the running. He got blunted, or his speed got blunted at Listowel last time out of hurdles when the ground was soft, but he's back on a good to firm surface. He's back to Cork. He's unbeaten here. And this horse is 6-1. Go figure.
OK, then. So Perez, a pretty confident selection there.
Oh, massive each way, yeah. Can't be out the frame.
OK, then the final race that we're going to look at is the 4.30. It's a novice's chase over 2.5 miles. A lovely-looking race, this. Daroon, Owega Star, Sizing Rio, and indeed Golden One. In fact, most of the runners here you could give pretty strong chances to. They've all been pretty impressive in one way or another in recent times, but which one do you fancy the most here, Andy?
I'll just probably let the market guide me in the right direction here, or if you like, go for the value, because I do think one or two of these have been priced up ridiculously short. I do respect Sizing Rio from the Henry Bromhead camp. Good chase debut when he won in Tipperary on ground that was plenty soft enough on it for a debut over fences, but he did the job well. He's been put away, brought back. Just the ground might be a little bit quick for him today. Who knows? It's still good to firm in places, which no reason to suggest it won't be. He might find, I won't say he's going to be tapped for toe because he has got plenty of boot, but he's just, 9-4, this is a decent race, and I don't really want to be sticking something up at 5-2 with a slight cloud of doubt over him. So I'm going to look towards Golden Wonder here from the Desi Hughes stable. I'm waiting for this horse to run ever since he won at Galway. He beat a couple of in-form animals, Springheel and Rajay. He's got form on decent ground as well. He's a good jumper. He stays well. He's just one of these granite tough Desi Hughes horses that I like to select when, if you like, they slip under the radar. William Hill have actually done the right thing. They put him in at 7-2 this morning. I think that's the right price, and I think he will certainly justify the odds compiler's opinion.
OK, so Golden Wonder in the 4.30. Could you just recap your three picks at Cork then, please, Andy?
Yeah, best bet on the card is Borgin Enemy. If you can get 7 or 8 to 1 each way for that in that 325, I don't think you'd be doing too much wrong. In the 355, again, another solid each way bet here with Pires. He loves the track and the ground's in his favour. And in the 430, Golden Wonder. He should run well. I'm quite confident of a good run there.
Okay, very good, Andy. A nice, lengthy Irish racing preview today, but fingers crossed we can have a few winners at both Cork and Naas. Thank you very much for your time, Andy. Good luck with the picks, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, cheers, Alex. Pleasure as always.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.